I'm going to read the scripture. It says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and the colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say this: the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. In 1995, after 3 years of intense revival in Lakeland, Florida, a brother and I were sent up here with our families. And we were sitting in the other building on the back row. And God spoke to me that I would be a part of New Covenant Fellowship if I wasn't planting a church. So 15 years later, 2010, around the same week that Becca Rays came, Becca Bales at the time, and I saw the moment in their house, and she was around the corner with Brenda. And I walked around, and the prophetic word that the Lord had already given me was, oh, you're talking about Stephen Rays. And they were giggling, and said, how do you know? Well, it was kind of obvious too, but you know, as they were around each other. And it was interesting because it all started with a wedding. The Old Testament started with a wedding. Adam and Eve. The New Testament started with Jesus' miracle, coming out of the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, saying, it is written. Every time the enemy lied to him, it is written. It is written. And then he left him for an opportune time to come back. But his first miracle was actually recognized by his mother. It was at a wedding. And they ran out of wine. His mother said, whatever he says to you, do it. Are those things said that way? Like, the Lord have need of you. Whatever he says to you, do it. Are they random? Are they coincidences? Are they nuggets that we can pull from to know how he moves? So my friend Dave Baker this morning, he sends out to a group of people. He's now not retired, but he has stepped down from being the pastor of the Vineyard Fellowship. And his son is now the pastor of the Vineyard Fellowship in Lakeland, Florida, that sent us out up here to see our day, really. See the Great Awakening. And here's what Dave said this morning. He said, I pray that your day has started well, that you've already begun to rejoice in the Lord. My thought for this Sunday comes from Luke 6, 6 through 11. In typical fashion, Jesus, he is once again functioning as the Lord of the Sabbath. So when a man with a deformed hand appears before him, he asks a very practical question. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it the day for doing evil? What a question. Is this a day save life or destroy it? It seems the answer should be a no-brainer. But in the eyes of his critics, it isn't the case. In fact, When the man's hand is restored, here's their reaction. The enemies of Jesus were wild with rage and began to discuss what to do with him. Can you imagine? They were wild with rage. Why? Because certainly God could only do on the Sabbath what their theological understanding allowed. Ridiculous, right? Now, maybe you've never been wild with rage at God, but have you ever determined what he could or couldn't do? Or maybe who he could or couldn't work through? How willing are you to allow God to do as he desires? Even when we don't agree or understand. In fact, we're so determined, we are so determined to join him in what he's doing that he has our yes prior to seeing how he's going to move. And I kind of murdered that, so let me say it again. In fact, we are so determined to join him in what he's doing that he has our yes. Becca and Stephen Reyes, who have shown that so clearly for us as they begin to give their yes, no matter what the Lord said earlier last year. Prior to seeing how he's going to move, let's make sure our hearts and minds are postured to join him as he releases kingdom activity through 2023. I read that just a few hours ago. I knew I had to include it for today. How many has ever seen Mark Lowry? He's a comedian. But if you know Mark Lowry, he wrote the song "Mary, Did You Know?" And like his comedy sometimes and "Mary, Did You Know?" do not match up. But he seems to always land the plane in a way that just hits you right in the heart. But he said, God meets you in the interruptions. We think that God meets us in the places of obedience, the places of success, the places that look good to the world and everyone around us. But he said he learned this from Gloria Gaither. And he was talking about different people in the crowd, Dottie Rambo and others that had written so many songs, and how they had changed his life. And he said, I'm actually here speaking, and Dottie Rambo is listening to me. He said, how weird is that? You know, because she's like a person of the faith that, you know, is considered a great saint. Hauling the water to the desert. Crossover music. Ministry, praying with a Muslim friend who says, I'm not religious. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian, but I sure do love Jesus. My friend Surat Mohammed, who called yesterday and said, Butch, I'm starting a new business. And I moved it to Manassas because I knew you were there. And I knew you'd come over and pray with me anytime. Can you pray for my business? So I prayed that the enemy would be knocked down before him. They'd be given favor. Maybe he'd even end up at New Covenant Fellowship. He's one of the seven Muslims that would come to my desk at Coles 4 and say, can you pray in the Jesus' name? And I know I mention it often, but there's a reason I'm mentioning it today. I was thinking of the people that in some way to me were divine interruptions. My friend Bobby Hall. when I met him. He had a new girlfriend every week. He was leading a ministry. I can't tell you certain things, but a lot of people would have disallowed him, and a lot of people did, and a lot of people judged him. Until one day we had a conversation about what he thought was scripture, and it was that it's better to spill your seed in the whore than onto the ground. And it was a divine appointment for Bobby and I, because I was able to say, Bobby, that's not scripture. He's like, oh yeah, sure it is. I heard it in prison. And I'm like, well, let's explore that. I said, I looked that up. It was the Quran. It changed everything for Bobby. Had I judged Bobby, how many times has he come here? Maybe at Easter shared, had a church here. Things looked like they were through. Now they're, Brothers in Christ is growing exponentially right now. It's an interruption. I couldn't judge. I had to hear what the Father's heart was saying. I had to come alongside. I had to hear. My friend Dave Kerfus, Bible Dave, they call him now. Charlotte Gabby Kerfus, his wife. I met them. She was riding with good girls, bad girls. And we had a funeral for String. It's probably the biggest opportunity to sow into the kingdom and to share. And I gave a altar call during the funeral. And one of the ladies from the club said, yes, sitting right there. You were sitting here. She was right behind you. And she said, yes, when I gave the altar call and people were giving their heart to Jesus. You may not know that. They were in a club that's one of the oldest ones in America. It was funny as I was watching all the guys standing on the back and our people trying to get, please sit down. You know, man, that was their station. That was their place. There's an order. And God was doing something. Even if they didn't get saved, one waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. It's the kingdom. It's not judging things as how they are, but how he sees them. So Dave and Gabby, they're together. She's gone on her good girls, bad girls patch, which means they ride with the clubs. They're the girlfriends of the clubs. If they don't have a property of, they have on a good girls, bad girls patch. There might not exactly be an old lady, but they're an old lady adjacent, I would say. They're the fun girl for a while. We walk into a home here in Manassas Park. Or Manassas, I don't know. It's brackish in some places. And if you fish and you've ever been to the Outer Banks, there's a part that's ocean, there's a part that's sound, and there's a part that's in between. And I don't know where some places end and some begin in Manassas. But anyway, we walk into a house that's full of people who have probably been smoking crack and doing all kinds of things. And about 12, 13 kids all piled on the couch. And as we came out, and Bobby says, Bobby was with us, said, yeah, last time I was here 20 years ago, I kicked this door down. But as they left, Charlotte busts out crying and said, those kids, that was me. And so that next day she gets on Facebook and says, I'm putting down my patch from Good Girls, Bad Girls. I know I've shared some of this before. And her life was transformed. If you know Charlotte now, just so full of Holy Spirit. And they're praying for the revival of the Field of Dreams in Orange, and they're spearheading that. And they're seeing signs and wonders. Michael Smith is actually, is actually scheduled to do a revival out there. Dion Smith, who meets here on Thursday nights. We've been meeting with him. Like the other bikers that I've mentioned, Dion can be a hot mess. But during the pandemic and other things, or as I call it, the plandemic, which endeared my wife to me, she loved that. During that time, he was having the Thursday night meeting, and they had waned. They went down to 200 or 300 people. And we made a decision to let him continue. We don't know how it's all going to work. We've got a schedule for Stephen to meet with him and try to iron out some things that have gotten messy. But he reported to me last week. We had 700 and some one night and 800 and some the next Thursday night. It's building. And people all across the country, from Dion, he says, I don't know anything about theology. I just love Jesus, and I pray for the people who text in and call in. I believe there's something that we need to come alongside there. Keith Fralin. He was my my sales manager at Coles Ford. He said, there's something about you that's different. And Keith, he was like Michelle with two L's. Every other word. He was constantly apologizing for his language. I said, dude, just be you. You know, I said, you're going to find I'm going to be your friend regardless. Pretty soon, he was like, hey, I'd like to hang out with you more. Can you help me buy a Harley? Harley came in trade. He's got three Harleys now. We've ridden all over the area. He's concealed carry. Help me get my concealed carry. Keith Fralin. He said, man, a lot of people have judged me. But it's real Christians like you. As I was becoming the pastor of Coles Ford for 136 people. Keith Fralin was a key part of that. He kept saying to me in the middle of that, I'm really busy now. I really need to talk to you. And we had those conversations over and over and over again. I know he's given his heart to Jesus. I don't know where he's on the scale, but that's not me. That's between him and God. And he has influence over people that I could never touch. Jeremy Chevalier. My son, who grew up in my home, and I'm not going to share everything, but he was arrested almost 18 years ago, 17 years ago now. The minute he hit that cell, he hit his knees. Mom and Dad's religion became his relationship with Jesus. And he won 28 people to the Lord before he left that jail. And a bunch of them were through an interpreter in Spanish. Now, Jeremy used to have this thing. He took Spanish and he would say, "I'm fluent." He wasn't even fluent at Jason. He didn't even do Spanglish real well. But with the interpreter, he led a whole bunch of guys that were about to be deported to Jesus. Because he doesn't have a fear. If he didn't fear me, he was going to fear anybody in that jail. Right? And Jeremy and Joshua are my two best friends. Next to my new wife. My best female friend. Joshua Chevalier. Before we left Florida, John Paul Jackson came up. And there were two 12-year-olds sitting like right here. And he grabbed them by the hand. One was named Tammy Baker, not Tammy Faye Baker. It was a little girl named Tammy, probably named after Tammy Faye. And Josh Chevalier. And he said, "The Lord has need of you." And then he went over and took their hands and laid them on someone very similar to Deborah Pfeiffer. And they began to weep as the Holy Spirit was being poured out through these two 12-year-olds. This lady who had been sick with a disease, who was rich. She had plenty of money. Gold and silver had she plenty. But out of their tender hearts, she was instantly healed. And she shook all over in the power of God. And they went from person to person to person. We're in a season . So let me finish that story, actually. Josh went to JMU. He's in the ministry now, full time. But the real reason he went to the JMU is that Playboy magazine had said that the hottest girls in America went to JMU. And he had 17 friends that some had gotten into William and Mary and to Virginia Tech, and Josh being the Pied Piper got them all to go to JMU. But God, he started in with Campus Crusade for Christ and Chi Alpha, went away to a summer project, came back and told me that all my theology was wrong because he was hanging out with guys that had a different theology than me. Josh surprised us and told me in a text, "Dad, I'm coming home for your wedding." He performed our wedding. Jeremy was my best man. Jeremiah was the ring bearer, literally in his bear costume. And Mackenzie, because we felt led of the Lord to pay for the kids' tickets to come. And we couldn't invite anybody else because we would have offended anybody had we invited anybody but family. So Katie's mom and dad came, and it was my kids. But Josh and Corey have told me that phenomenon has happened among the college ministries. There's a move of the Holy Spirit. And all that stuff that was wrong in Dad's theology just became right. Because his friends are preaching the same things. And they're saying transformation. He has a book that was inspired by George Otis Jr., a friend wrote, called College Community Transformation. You can't even write this stuff, man. Because, and we were in the community transformation meetings in the late 90s with George Otis Jr., and John Bevere was there. And Josh had stolen a flag off of a truck, a rebel flag, because it offended him and his friends. And I have the cops show up to the transformation ministry gathering and say, your son's been arrested, you know. And so I had to deal with that. But John Bevere took him under his wing and gave him every book he had, every tape he had, including the Beta Satan that you just gave us yesterday. Yep. So there were deposits that, like people here did into Joshua and Jeremy and others, there are deposits that the Lord has need of you. And that's where we are right now. And I'm going to just mention some names. Kari Chevalier, Lorraine Deloso Chevalier. These are people that have changed my life. Halfway through grief, Jeremy married Lorraine and had Jeremiah. And it changed grief from a laborious process. We'll knock on the door every morning. When, Daddy? When, Daddy? He would come in. He'd jump in the bed, and he doesn't like to snuggle under the covers. But because it was me, he'd get next to me, and he'd pull the covers up, and we'd watch Trash Truck, which is a little show. And then he'd get down and play around, and when parents came back, okay, time to go to bed. This was actually at night. And so he'd jump back in bed and get under the covers. I'm with Wayne, Daddy. But it changed my grief. It got me ready for Katie Girl or Katie Bear. Liz McDonald. You've changed my life. Yes. To see the transformation from the first day that we came 13 years ago. And to watch as, because of String and you and Stephen, a whole club come in here, an opportunity for them to see someone who's been clean and sober for what, 33 years? Come on now. The Lord had need of you. They see that transformation. You need to see yourself beyond the veil. The Lord's not through with you. You're just beginning. You have a new lease on life, Liz. God's going to use you in ways you can't imagine. Just don't get in his way. Don't tell him what you can't do and what he can't do. You got air conditioning in your house coming. It's coming, I said. And heat. And stuff that you've only dreamed of, that you thought you'd never have again. And God's doing a new thing in you. Adjust the right. It's not finished with you, Liz. You're at a new beginning. Interesting thing about God is when we move from time, when we get saved, to eternity, that every morning it's new. You can't bring up the failures because he has no idea. They're as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't see any of your failures. That old chick track that says, when you get to heaven, you're going to see this movie screen. You're going to see all the bad things and the good things. You know what? If you don't know Jesus, that is what you're going to see. But once you know Jesus, remember when I used to be an alcoholic 33 years ago? And she's going to say, no. All I see is the blood. You're free of that. You're not an alcoholic. It's not. No, you're not even recovering. You're transformed. You're a child of God. You're set free in Jesus' name. From this point forward, you're changed. When you realize that, you've got to profess that. You are not that. And there's a time for all that. But the transforming part of that is that God calls you what you are, not what you were. You're his daughter. You're the bride of Christ. I don't want to even use princess because that can be like Disney World and all that. But a warrior princess, where his speak the word to the enemy when he brings the old lies up to you. Out of the abundance of your heart, stay in the word and speak it to the enemy, just like Jesus did when he was in the wilderness on that 40-day fast. And when he was at the end, when he was the weakest, the enemy came to him and said all these things. And he said, but it is written. And you say, but it is written. And you speak back to him. If he comes in your house, open all the doors and say, get out of here in Jesus' name and plead the blood over your house. Stephen, raise. Actually, that was a Freudian slip. But that's your man right there. Yes, but it needs to be in a new way. You need to step into what God has for you. You were set free. And it's kind of like you take two steps back to go one step forward sometimes. You need to be transformed, brother. Those friends that do not speak life into your life, you need to back off of them and gather around with Stephen and the guys that will be the ones that build you up. One day you will be able to go back to those guys in your new identity and speak life to them. And you're going to go where no man has gone before because you're uniquely called in that area. But you have to walk in it. He's already made provision for you. You know it. Quit going back, man. You're going to turn into a pillar of salt eventually. No, I'm joking with you, man. But seriously. Gather around with the guys. They're going to build you up. And they'll go with you. You need to go with two when you go back. You need an intercessor to go with you as you speak to them. And they'll listen to you. And they'll see. They'll see a man where there was a boy. The little boy that was broken. And when you grew up, your growth was stunted because you were hurt at a certain point. But you're a man of God. He's called you by name. And you've been bought with a price. Walk in that, brother. And we're going to pray for you before we leave. Stephen and Becca. Come on up. Come on up. You got a big man there to help you. Yeah. First, I want to thank you guys for Bernie. Thank you for giving him your yes once again and to listening to his voice. You have so much ahead of you. And I know that there was a time you didn't like me. You loved me, but you didn't like me. But I know you love me, and you like me now, I think, for the most part. But even more importantly, the enemy has tried to divide us so that what is happening now wouldn't happen. And I was part of that. And things that hurt you guys was a part of that. But I just want you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. And I know you know that. But I think there's a place that you're going to come to in your knower. Katie, can you share what happened yesterday? And you knowing that I really loved you? I know that's very personal.
Start wherever you want to start. Free reign.
So Bill and Ann Smith are our marital coaches, just two amazingly anointed people that are running alongside us, as many others in the room are as well. And we're so appreciative and thankful. And in the theme of giving it a Latin name, Maximus Interruptus, the season that we're now in, right? Where God is going to continue to interrupt our lives. We're going to have the same mailman we've had forever. And all of a sudden, it's a new mailman, right? And we're going to meet God in a different way. Like there's a change, and there's a change, and there's another change. And now there's accumulation of changes. That's the season that we're in, Maximus Interruptus. And that's thematically consistent with what Butch was sharing with his stories. A month ago, I didn't even know, right? But God has totally interrupted both of our lives, right? And we're sitting there with our marital coaches yesterday, and not going into personal details, but the amount of trauma that I've had in my life, prolonged, sustained trauma, I didn't realize that my husband loved me really, truly until yesterday. And we're sitting there with the marital coaches. And because of the empath that he is and the gift that God has given me, my tendencies and things and my stuff that I'm working through, I'm looking at him and he's explaining and I'm like, oh my gosh, you really love me. You really love me. Like you really see me and you really accept me and you really love me. Like this is not, you're not putting on airs here. You're not just saying it. And yeah, we got married, all this, but it didn't hit my heart because it wasn't, I just have all these self-defense mechanisms for survival. And I'm wired that way up until now. God is rewiring me. But just yesterday, I was able to look at him and realize that he really loves me. So I don't know if that's what I was supposed to share or not, but
yeah.
Maximus Interruptus. And I just feel like that's a word for this whole room, that we can just start to nod at this supernatural nod to the Lord. Every time we notice a change, small or large, in our lives, that we just stop and give God glory and praise him and worship in that moment. Say, I saw that just there. I saw that change. I received that change. What is it you're saying to me? What is my response in the spirit? I saw that there. And we just take notice. And one change at a time, we'll begin to have momentum about how to accept change and how to yield to the Holy Spirit and yield to that sensitivity to say, I saw that just there. Show me again. And another change will come and it might not be fun. But we begin to say, yes, I worship you in the moment. I don't understand. I don't need to understand. I'm going to worship you right now. I'm going to accept what you have for me. That's all I got.
I have something that the Lord... In response to that change, something the Lord gave me yesterday during the burn that I want to share was we got to a point where we were like just about halfway. And it's like 6 hours to go. And it was like a transition moment. And I felt it multiple times during the day of like, things are transitioning. And I was like, okay, what's next? Like, what do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do now? And then the Lord, like, he started speaking to me about stretching. And when we stretch our bodies, if you think about, I mean, I don't know who saw me like stretching in the back because I'm kind of sore from yesterday. But like when you're stretching something and you hit that spot, so I think sometimes our first thought might be, okay, my first thought is like, yeah, let's get into it. Let's dig it out. I want that gone. Like I just kind of stay there and breathe into it. Some people may be like, oh, that really hurts. I'm going to back off. I don't want to be stretched. I don't want that pain. But when you are being stretched, the most important there, it's good for you for one thing. To stretch your muscles and your body. But when you are in that place of, what did you say?
Maximus
interruptus. Like you're being stretched. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. But when we stop and say, Lord, I see you in this, just like Katie was saying, okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to breathe into it. I'm going to ask you, what are you saying? What are you doing in this moment? And help me to be in it with you. And we have to stop and surrender and settle in. Just settle into the stretch. Settle in to that place of uncomfortability and get comfortable being uncomfortable. We, as Christians, are not called to be comfortable. We're called to be persecuted. Persecution is not comfortable. So if you're comfortable, you might not be fully where God is calling you to be. I didn't mean to take over your message, but
I think, can I speak for you for a second, Stephen? I think they could speak for us all the time, right? Just about. So. Stay.
Matching today, too. Like,
matchy, matchy. Yeah, that's God, because we didn't compare notes. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. There's so much more we could say. Yep, actually, you get on this side and huggy-huggy with Becca, one of my favorite people. Father, I just thank you that you are doing a new thing. You've told us to forget the former things. In fact, there was a blimp over America that needed to be destroyed, and we looked at it for a long time. But we finally obliterated it. Lord, help us to obliterate what we think it's going to look like. And see what you have. Give us an open heaven. Help us to stay in a position that it remain open because we continually adjust. That what might have been our yes today might be a no tomorrow, and another yes, that we let go of something so that we can grab on to what you have. That we let go of the good so that we can grab on to God. So, Father, as we pray for people now, my sense is that many of you have already heard the voice of God this morning, and you've heard the Lord say, I have need of you. And so the elders and those who have gone through the prophetic course, and Don and Bob and Jordan, that we would pray for those that would come up and just say, God, no matter what it looks like, with no preconceived ideas, I give you my yes. Because yes and Lord are the two things that can exist in one sentence. No and Lord cannot exist. And you always know what's best. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church. In Jesus' name, amen.